Amen. Are you guys all well? Can everybody say with me, praying in tongues? Say with me, speaking in tongues. This is the best kept secret of the church. And unfortunately, the most unpracticed truth that Christians have. Even though we walk into charismatic churches and we walk into Pentecostal churches, we very few times see people praying in tongues committedly. The Apostle Paul said, I thank my God that I speak in other tongues more than you all. Are you guys with me? He says, I thank my God that I speak in other tongues more than you all. And I want to take from the beginning, I want to speak to you about praying in other tongues. In verse number 19, please. Okay. I want you guys just to look here. It says, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Say with me, to call them. The word call there means to call forth. Okay, so when if you read the book of Genesis, you'll see that man was formed, but man was not yet male. It was not yet named. It was not Adam and Eve yet, but the Bible says it was male and female and them both. But yet it was Adam, which is Adam, which speaks of, which is one person, but male and female was in them. God created them. Are you guys with me? I'm not going to get to that right now, but now it says God created every animal to see what Adam would call them. And whatever, say with me, whatever. And I will get to you just now. I mean, I'll explain to you just now how it's going to go. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. Say with me, whatever. Listen, there's two sides to the scripture. It can either be that Adam chose the names, or it can be that he was so full of the mind of God that he knew the exact name of the animal and he called it. Are you guys with me? Now, say with me, the mind of Christ. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. Next verse. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to help him. I don't know if people are listening. Are you guys with me? Okay, say with me, but for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. That means that God looked for a wife for Adam in every animal. In the scriptural, before Eve was created, God looked for a helper for Adam. The animals would come to Adam, and Adam would then begin to call them forth into being. So if Adam said elephant, an elephant would be. Because there's two dimensions here. You get the spiritual dimension and you get the natural dimension. Are you guys with me? I'm speaking to you about the power of language. Do you know that we are the only creation created with language on the earth? I'm going to say it again. We are the only creation created with a language on the earth. A language that has vowels and that has different nouns and vowels and sentences and that can make sense, a vocabulary. We are the only creation created with a language because a language has a creative ability. When we were created as mankind, God says, I have made them in my image and my likeness. Are you guys with me? And God says, let us make man in our image and our likeness. Image means we look like God. Likeness means we function like God. Are you guys with me? Say with me, functioning like God. I know we preached this in the conference. I'm not going to preach it, but I need you to get through this. Say, functioning like God. There's no way God settles for anything less than the best. There's no way that God settles for rejection, settles for a lack of identity. If I'm made in His image, if I'm made in His likeness, it means wherever I go, I look like God, which means that when the devil sees me, he doesn't see me, he sees an image of God. The one that he rebelled against, he sees a multiplication of that one. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying. Satan came out of heaven, was kicked out of heaven, Lucifer, because he rebelled against the one that he wanted to take his throne. And as he came down to earth, God said, let us make man. Why? To irritate the devil. One of the reasons that wherever he looks, he sees my image. Wherever he roams on the earth, he sees my image. He sees my likeness. He moves. Listen, he sees a people move and functioning and looking. And everything, where he turns his eyes, he's like, but I rebelled from this one. I rebelled from God to be out of his sight. And God says, let's irritate the devil and create a multiplication of myself. Are you guys with me? If we understand identity, who we are, how we look like, who we function like, it is like God. A helper comparable to him. So we are the only creation created with a language. The Bible says God brought every animal to Adam, and he would call them by their name. And as it is, so they would be. Are you guys with me? 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16 says, listen to this. And I know some of you know it, and I know some of you don't, but I'm going to a certain way. Say with your language, you are the only creation except from angels created with a language. A language is the creative ability given by God to create something, which means that you and I have the ability to create our future. We'll get into that just now. Verse 16 says, for who has known? Read this with me. Say, for who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Question mark. Now say with me, answer. Now it goes, but we have the mind of Christ. And as Christians, we stop there and we don't look back. The Apostle Paul said, listen here, who has the mind of the Lord, that that one may instruct God what to do? If you come from a religious church, you're going to backslide right now. It says, who has the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct God what to do? And the apostle says, but we have the mind of Christ. Listen here, how is it that God has to come to Moses and say, Moses, I want to kill these people. Can you get out of my way? Are you guys with me? Why does God have to ask Moses permission? Because he has given the legal right to Moses, and he needs Moses' permission before he can do anything. Which means that that was Old Testament. The Bible says in the New Covenant, we have an exceeding glory that forever excels, and it goes from glory to glory to glory. Which means that God cannot come into your business or your ministry without your permission. You need to give him permission, and you need to allow him to come into your business or your ministry. Are you guys with me? Say they're functioning like a God. Say it again. Say functioning like God. Okay. Let's see where to go. So when Adam was calling the animals, I believe that he knew exactly to think like God thinks. And he had the mind of God, whether he changed it or not. But listen here, you and I have the ability to change God's mind towards ourselves. Are you guys with me? Just as the ability as your children has the ability to change your mind towards them. It's the same thing. So God gave Adam and him this language. And Adam, by his virtue of his words, began to speak. And things were created. And then we see that chaos came in. Obviously, Adam and Eve fell and so on. And that they lost the image of God. But the image of God was restored to us through Jesus Christ. And we see that we get to the Tower of Babel. Where the Bible says that man became exceedingly wicked on the earth. And they began to build for themselves a tower. They put their mind to one. They were as one, the Bible says, as one. And they said, we will build this tower. And we will go into the heights, and we will reach into heaven. And God said these words, because they are one, nothing will be impossible for them. If we do not stop them, they will get it right. They said, we're going to build a tower into heaven. And God says, if we do not stop them, they're going to get it right. How can you build a tower into heaven? And God says that you'll be able to do it. Are you guys with me? These were wicked people that were able to get into heaven. I'm not speaking of heaven as salvation. I'm speaking of the possibility that there is for us. If wicked people could sit in a place, conspire together because they are of oneness and mind, and they are in unity. And they say, because we are one, if we build this thing, we will accomplish it. And God says, it doesn't matter how impossible it is. that if they build this thing, that if they go into this church in Centurion, if they won, nothing will be impossible for them. If they go into a building, nothing will be impossible for them. Doesn't matter who said what, who said no, who said you'll never make it. If we don't stop them, if God says, if I don't stop them, what they set their minds to do, they will do. So God gave them different languages, divided languages. Are you guys with me? But then 4,000 years later, something happened. On Acts chapter number 2, where the Bible says they were all in the upper room. Say with me, the upper room. Which means that it is high, not low. Amen? There's high places. I can be low where the demons are, or I can be in high places where the Bible says that I will make you to soar on the high places of the earth, and there I will pour out for you oil, rivers of oil from the rock, rivers of anointing from the rock. A high place we enter through praise and worship and going. We call it high praise and high worship, and you enter into a place called the high place. When you open up your eyes after you're worshiping or you're praying, you're in a high place. You don't even sense your troubles anymore. You don't feel your troubles. That is why it is a high place. So they were in the upper room, and as they were sitting in the upper room, the Bible says that on the day of Pentecost, they were all together in the upper room, together as one. Say with me, one. Again, we see it as one. And it says that the Holy Spirit came down like a mighty rushing wind and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Tongues as of fire sat upon each of them. And then it says they were given other tongues. They began to speak in languages, and other people began to hear it. Are you guys with me? In their language. For example, they wouldn't know Chinese and they would speak in Chinese. They wouldn't know German, but they would speak in German. That's the one type of tongues. There's five types of tongues. I'm not going to get into it. You get a gift of tongues. You get unknown tongues. You get the tongues of angels, the tongues of men. I'm not going to get into all those things today. But let's just work on other tongues. Serve the other tongues. So when at the Tower of Babel, God took and dispersed the languages, because when they had one language, save the one language, they could reach heaven. God dispersed the languages, and we see later, over a few thousand years, in the upper room again, God says, listen here, my people are getting ready. And he began to pour out his spirit, and he gave them again one language, which means that in the Tower of Babel, if they could get from the earth into heaven with one language, now God has given us one language to get heaven back to earth, to get into a place where you're in your house, in your business, and when you begin to pray, and you begin to pray in other tongues, you can bring heaven down onto earth in your situation, wherever you are at. Say with me, Lavrus Kenemaya. Say it again, say Lavrus Kenemaya. Just begin to pray in other tongues wherever you at. Come on, pray, church. If you can't pray, don't worry. If you can pray, just pray. Out of your innermost being, out of your belly, let rivers of living water begin to flow. Let rivers of living water begin to flow out of your inner being. Just raise your hands. Begin to pray. The Bible says that when you pray in another tongue, you edify yourself. You prop up yourself. You build yourself up. You build your spirit up when you pray in other tongues. You are charging your spirit like a battery. It means in the Greek. As you pray, you are building yourself up. You're energizing yourself with the energy from heaven. Just keep your eyes closed, just wherever you are, just keep your eyes closed. Just feel the atmosphere. La Ruska, I know it speaks against everything for some in this place. Avrondioska drevene hakalandro doskaya. Zekamondroskete. Avroskete. I would pray hours and hours and hours and hours a day. I would pray up to 4 or 5 hours every day. I remember when I just got saved. When I would pray like this, my whole atmosphere, my room would be changed. Demons would not come close. If people were demons in them, they would not come close to me. For the Lord says that you will have a teaching ministry that will flow with revelation. For even right now, as the oil comes upon you, I'll raise you up and I'll extend the years of your life. It'll be like oil that flows from the head of Aaron to the beard, to the shoulders. That when you open your mouth and when the words come out, it'll be like oil from heaven upon people. Let your glory come down and visit us. Let your glory come down and visit us. You can have your seats. How many of you just feel the change in the atmosphere? When you do that, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, the Bible says you build up yourself. You edify yourself. When I just got saved, I used to pray hours and hours. Now still, but it's like, you get into a bit of a different vein where now I would pray late at night. But I remember when I would just get saved, I would wake up early in the morning, whether it's 3 or 4 o'clock, and I would begin to spend my mornings in prayer, 4 hours, 5 hours. What happened when I began to do that? My spirit began to be built up. I began to edify my spirit. Say with me, edify. So many Christians don't have the ability to pray in other tongues, and they are losing out of everything that God has for them. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2 says, he who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to man as he supposed, but he speaks to God. And in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. Say with him, mysteries. Follow me with the scriptures. Say with him, mysteries. He who speaks in an unknown tongue, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2. He who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to man, but he speaks to God. Listen, for he who speaks in a tongue, an unknown tongue if you may, does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. Say with me, understand. There's a difference between speaking in tongues and praying in tongues, okay? So you didn't know that. So your Bible would sometimes say speaking in tongues and sometimes it will say praying in tongues. It is time that we read word for word in the scripture. Because otherwise we can take it out of context. For he who speaks, lavruska in lichandi oskataibaro, brondi eskata anvo, levruskandi eskateke, lebruska. I'm speaking. Are you guys with me? Praying is a supplication that comes from, that's a cry that comes from your spirit. Paul says speak and he says pray. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but he speaks to God. So when I speak, braskote endia, I'm speaking to God. I'm not praying. Please, we need to understand that pray is the wrong translation of the Bible. I know you don't know this, you ignorant Christians. Are you guys with me? You're just looking at me. The word pray actually means to beg. We are not here to beg God for everything that is already given us. I'm not saying you can't pray. It's just wrong, translated wrong in the Bible. We will, as we carry on with this series, maybe by the second week when we're into the building, I'll explain to you the 10 types of prayers there are. From supplication to intercession to warfare to the prayer of fellowship. There are different types of prayer. But the word pray actually means to beg like a beggar. If you look at it in terms of the going into African languages, the word pray actually means to beg. That's what it literally is translated in. We are not here to beg God of something. Are you guys with me? We are here to pray. We can call, we can cry out to Him, but there's not a begging type thing. So that's why that word isn't really getting the full idea through. Because we think pray as a religiously type thing where God says, I want you to speak to me. I even have given you the ability of a heavenly language to speak to me. When I'm in my room sometimes, presence of God is thick, I will just be like, Lavroskai. How many of you know languages, vowels, and nouns? How much more a heavenly language? Some people are just taking to one word like a machine gun, like ratata, tatata, ba 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 ba, and that's all they do. Change the gear. If you begin to feel like it's getting too high for you, change the gear. Love, are you guys with me? I can pray, listen, otherwise you'll only be praying for 5 minutes. If I pray, La Ruskete, Kenemandro Dushketa, Varabioskete, La Bruskete, Delebede Mario, they'll go fast, and I'm praying for an hour in the spirit. La Ruskete, Kelebede Mabrioskete, Kelebede Man. Then I change the gear. La Ruska Navandioskete, Lebede. I can go higher, and it's called breakthrough prayer. Like that, you can pray for 5, 6, 7 hours, and you will have heaven in your room. The thing is that people don't want to do it because your flesh hates it, brother. Come on, are you guys with me? Your flesh, when you get on your knees that first few minutes, your fresh flesh will cry out. Check your phone. Somebody's trying to phone you. Go get something to eat. It's not good for you. It's your flesh that is rebelling. Are you guys with me? Let me get to a piece that I want to close off with. Certainly praying in tongues. And like I said, I don't prepare. I literally just write a few things when I get here. And then I go into that. Zechariah 12. You don't have to go there. You don't have to go there. Verse 10. It says something like this. It says, I will pour out on the house of David in that day a spirit. Say with me, a spirit of grace and supplication. Basically what he's saying, listen, I will pour out in that day on my house of David a spirit of prayer. You cannot pray unless God draws you. Are you guys with me? You cannot even read your word unless God draws you. You think you're reading your word, but you're reading it out of the flesh. That's why it's boring for you in the first chapter. We need to have a heart where God can begin to draw us. The Bible says that no one comes to me unless I draw him to myself. Which means that my heart and my faith must be in a place where God can begin to draw myself, and the spirit of supplication, the spirit of prayer is poured out over my life. It is a grace that I can go. Listen, no person can go into their room and pray for 6, 7 hours on their own strength. You are too wicked, I promise you. This flesh that I have is too evil to do that. But when there's grace from God, the spirit of supplication being poured out on me, I get baptized in prayer. I don't know if some of you don't like it. Some people give me the evil eye. Evil eye is witchcraft. Please, I will. Huh? It's say with me, baptized in prayer. Psalm 109 verse 4, King David said, I think he said, let me just turn here. 109 verse 4, he says, for my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself, so I give myself unto prayer. In return for my love, they are my accusers, but I give myself to prayer. That word, that phrase, I give myself to prayer, means I have literally become prayer. I was literally baptized in prayer. So it doesn't matter where I'm going to work, I'm driving, and I just feel, it just comes out of me, I'm start praying. And I'm baptized in prayer. But you see, people that are not baptized in prayer, they don't understand why. They try to pray and it just wants to stop. Are you guys with me? They try to pray, they try to get on their knees or something, and they start praying and it just stops. They are not filled with the spirit of prayer, the spirit of supplication and grace. And the evening services, we'd had people like, I receive, jumping up and screaming. You guys just looking at me like Adam on Mother's Day. Say with me, baptize me. Say it again, say baptize me. With prayer, baptize me with the spirit of prayer. I have to receive grace from God to begin to pray and enter into a prayer closet where Jesus calls it his secret place. And I can go there to seek him. Are you guys with me? I can get on my knees and I can pray. And time begins to disappear. Things of the world, the things that are seen are beginning to fade away. And the things that are unseen begins to become your reality. Things, noises. When I go into my prayer room, and I did this for 14 years, I would sit in my room and I would begin to pray, and then all of a sudden I would hear all the stuff outside and noise. But when I get into a place of prayer, there's a place, it's called the secret place. Jesus says, shut your door behind you, and you pray in secret where your Father sees in secret, and he lives in secret. God lives in that secret place where we're sitting in prayer. Are you guys with me? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. I taught you on that. The Most High. When you dwell in your secret place, whether it's your prayer closet or your car, when you go there, you are living in the highest place possible. It is the Most High God, the place of the Most High God. It's called the secret place. Say with me, the secret place. So when I begin to pray, let me just explain this quickly. It's like I'm getting into prayer. There's what we call the flesh, or the body, soul, and the spirit. Are you guys with me? Three realms. Body, soul, spirit. There is what Jesus says, ask anything you ask of me, I will give you. If you seek, if you ask, you will be answered. If you seek, you will find. And if you knock, the door will be opened to you. All three of those things speaks of dimensions. But the third one, you see, the third one you cannot do on your own. It says the door will be opened. It doesn't say you will open the door. There's a big difference between the door will be opened and you opening the door. And this is where we're giving up. When I pray and I begin to see God, I get into a grace. And then God takes me into a dimension. He opens the door from the inside. As my heart begins to knock and I go into the dimension. You're getting into dimensions with prayer. We'll begin to hear angels, or you'll feel them, and some of you have felt them in our church when we minister. Or this will happen, or you will begin to, God will begin to speak to you. I would be so many hours in prayer sometimes that I can't have my wife or anybody even interfering me. I remember the one day I was in a 40-day water fast, and I was sitting on my floor and I was just praying before I went into a meeting. I was just praying in the spirit. And I was already like 4 or 5 hours or so, I can't remember. But I was just praying. But all of a sudden, I saw like smoke coming into the room. This was about 38 days on water. Okay? And I remember smoke coming into the room. And as I looked, I saw 2 feet standing in front of me that was shining. And as I wanted to look up to who it was, I was taken up into a spiritual abode. And there God put me on an altar, and God began to share with me about how to die to my own vision. And when I came out of that place, the people that were around me, wherever I walked, I went from there to walk past my wife, the presence of God came on her. I walked to into the church, as I walked into the church, people began to fall under the power without them knowing I had that encounter. That is when it's real. Are you guys with me? I mean, I was sharing with somebody, I think it was in the week, in my spiritual father, Pastor Mark's church, there was a, I'm sure I won't expose it if I say it like this, no. There was a worship leader, worshiping, everybody's worshiping with this worship leader. Spirit-filled, are you guys with me? Praying in other tongues, filled with the Holy Ghost, loving God until I fasted 40 days. When I did it, I remember the worship person wanted to come into, that was like leading the worship, main thing, wanted to come into my office, I don't know, for counseling or something, I can't remember, something about a relationship, that was it. And I was just sitting at my desk, as they touched the doorknob of my office, they came like a snake into that office, on the floor, the worship leader of a great church, say with you, baptized in prayer. When you pray, you begin to carry God on you. That wherever you go, things will be exposed. And I mean, there we started deliverance for a whole month. I mean, the person sat in front of me, their face started to change like this. Somebody that's ugly will become beautiful when a demon takes it over and wants it. Oh, come on. Are you guys with me? And to this day, obviously not a worship leader anymore, but things are hiding. But when you begin to pray, you carry God on you. Wherever you go, God goes. Wherever you move, He functions. Wherever you look, when people look at you, they'll see the image of God. The word image is salem. It means like it's like a mirror image, like a copy. You're an exact copy of God. When the devil looks at you and you come out of your prayer closet, because when you pray, you become one with Him. You become one with God. Enoch, the Bible says that Enoch walked with God and suddenly he was not, for God took him. There's a place that you and I can get into. It is called the place of prayer. When you get into that place of prayer, you'll receive power. I call it, it starts with the place of relationship. Prayer cannot be done without relationship. Prayer is simply communication. Are you guys with me? Now I get into that place of prayer and I begin to pray. And the Bible says that Enoch walked with God and suddenly he was not, for God took him. Now I can go into the scripture into deep what happened there, but simply he became one with God. He became so much of God that it was illegal for him to be on earth. He has to come back and die a natural death still. Are you guys with me? Enoch and Elijah has to come back and die a natural death. According to the scripture, those are the two prophets. You have to die a natural death in this world to go on. They have to come back, but they became so saturated with God around them. Because Enoch, he was spending so much. The Bible says when he walked with God, the word walked means he intertwined and he became one with Him. It was like you couldn't make out whether it was Enoch or whether it was God. This is what the scripture tells you. When Enoch was walking on the streets, they would not know whether it's him or God walking on the streets. It became too dangerous and it became too much. And God says, no, Enoch, I must fix this situation. I need you up here by me because you're becoming dangerous down on earth simply because of somebody that walked with God that says, I want to become one with the one. I want to become part of God in my prayer closet. I don't know. Listen, if this is in the old covenant, the Bible says there's much, much more, exceedingly much more in the new covenant for you and I. That the old covenant, it looks like it's fading away comparison to the new. In fact, the old covenant is nothing compared to that is in the new covenant, which means what I just explained to you now, God says it is nothing compared to what I have for you and I in this place. And I prophesy, may the spirit of religion come down in this city, come down in this region, and the spirit of witchcraft and Jezebel. Every spirit of tradition, every traditional work of people trying to worship God out of their traditions, may it be brought down. May it be brought down from a high place to the lowest of the lowest. And may people be set free in this city in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, I receive. Say with me, baptize me in prayer. So when you pray, Jesus says, ask, seek, knock. Many times we think we must ask and we must seek. Those three dimensions work together. Which means that now I ask and I'm being given the permission to seek in order to find a door that I can knock on so that somebody else can open it up for me from the inside. It is a process. Say with your protocol. So you get your body, soul, spirit. when I get into my room and pray, this flesh will rebel against everything when I get into the things of the Spirit. I have to die to that flesh. I have to crucify it. Jesus Christ says, unless you deny yourself, you cannot be my disciple. I have to crucify it. How do I crucify it? If it gets too wild, I start fasting. Are you guys with me? When it gets too much, I start fasting. I start beating my flesh. I don't give it the food it wants to. I don't give it the TV it wants to watch. I don't give it things that it wants to do. I crucify it. Now my spiritual, what happens is when I don't feed the flesh, I begin to feed the Spirit. Now I begin to pray in the Spirit. And I pray, my flesh freaks out and it begins to scream. It says, somebody's trying to get hold of you and all these thoughts go through your head. Unless you break through that, you'll never get into the second dimension. Most people get stuck by that prayer. They just pray their list, their prayer list before they go to bed. Say with me, the outer courts. The tabernacle of Moses and the outer courts, inner courts, holy of holies. The outer courts, they would get stuck there in the flesh. They would pray their prayer list and they would go to bed. And that is good. But there's so much more to that. There's a realm and a depth that you can go into with God. Like I said, that when you walk, it doesn't matter where you go, you become dangerous. Say with me, prayer. It takes a pressing in. Now you're praying in your flesh. You're praying. It feels like nothing is working. It feels like your prayers are hitting the roof and it just comes down. It feels like God is not listening. It's because you're in the flesh. When I pray, but I keep on praying, I ignore the thoughts. I ignore this. The Bible says in the outer courts, and I know this is actually a teaching, but I'll hope that you understand like this. In the outer courts of the temple, it's like the outside. First, I enter with the gates through the gates with thanksgiving and prayer. Then I get to an altar of sacrifice, which means that my flesh must die before I can go into a second dimension. Second dimension, now once my flesh dies, I'm on the altar of sacrifice. This one is saying this thoughts is coming up, my desires want this, my flesh wants this, me, myself, and I wants this, and I put it to death, and I keep on praying, and I keep praying. Then I go into what we call the second dimension. It is the inner court. There, when you look to your right, if you come in, you will see a table of showbread. When you look to your left, you'll see the lampstand of seven flames. The table of showbread says that in that place, you can begin to have fellowship with God now. Which means in that outer court, there was no fellowship with God. Are you guys with me? It is only in the second dimension. When I press through, it might take me now maybe like an hour or so. When I press through, then I get into a place that when you go from the outer court into the inner court, it's like you pray, and you pray, you begin to worship God. But suddenly, there's a shift in the atmosphere. And it feels like something has changed in the atmosphere. Are you guys with me? And all of a sudden, it feels like things are silent. It's like you don't hear the noise anymore from outside. You don't hear the cars driving. You don't hear kids crying because you've moved into another dimension. That is the place some get there, but then they fall out. Now you begin to pray. Now you have fellowship with the Lord. On the right side, on the left side, there's the lampstand, which speaks of revelation. And this is the place where you begin to get revelation. But this is still the place where you speak to God. Are you guys with me? In the outer court, you speak to God. In the inner court, you're praying, you're speaking to God. But then there's a place where you move into what we call the Holy of Holies. The holiest place. That's the place where the Ark of the Covenant is. When you move into there, that's where God now speaks to you. You were speaking to God in the outer court. You were complaining and speaking to God in the inner court. Now you move into the Holy of Holies. This is where you sit and where the Bible says, be still and know that He is God, that you will hear His voice, where everything, it feels like everything is silent around you. And you hear His voice, or He speaks inside of you, or you have visions, or you hear voices. For example, you'll hear winds, and many of you have experienced that. And that the Bible says there are thunderings and lightnings and many voices at His throne. That is when you enter into the throne room. But it takes consistency and it takes time. Are you guys with me? It's like, now you get into the Holy of Holies. As you get into the Holy of Holies, the trick is, you can only get into that place by grace. It is God that pulls you in, not you that go in. Are you guys with me? The door must be open on the inside, which tells me you must touch God's heart in some way that He opens up the door for you and He pulls you in. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Which means that if you look at the Ark of the Covenant, you'll see if you open it, on the inside is the Ten Commandments laid on the inside of the Ark of the Covenant, which speaks of the law. But now it's closed with the Ark of the Covenant, and on top of the law is what we call the mercy seat of Christ, which means that there's grace and mercy. The Bible says that mercy triumphs over judgment. When you understand grace, as we've been preaching, and when you understand mercy, you will understand that it is only by the grace of God that you're pulled into that place as you now pray and as you worship God, and He pulls into that place so that you can be still and know that He is God. It is in that place where you no longer need counseling. Before that, people want counseling. Before that, they need deliverance. But when you are in that place, it is when you begin to get free of stuff. You can still pray in the outer courts and leave that place with demons. Are you guys with me? You can still pray in the outer courts and leave that place with bad thoughts. But when you move into the inner court, and when you begin to move into the holiest of holies, listen, there are two works of the blood. The blood works in two ways. It forgives us and it cleanses us. Most Christians are forgiven, they're not cleansed. The forgiving takes place when you pray a prayer instantly and you are forgiven. But the cleansing takes place when you're in the holiest of holies. You're close to God, then the blood does a cleansing work. Many Christians don't get here. That's why when they pray and they go and they commit the same thing, they pray again and they go out and they do the same thing, they never get to the place of their deliverance. They never get to the place of their victory. Just before they enter the place where the blood cleanses them, they give up. They say, oh, I've prayed too much now. I don't feel anything. God is not moving. If you have just come to the place of surrender, when you would pray, you're praying a few hours of praise of God, if you would just surrender, God would move you into another dimension. Are you guys with me? Say with me, prayer. Zerando, zerando. Ravos, just stand to your feet for me, wherever you are. Zerando, just raise your hands, Lord, just close your eyes. Zevros, kandevesko, tekele, delevendrios, kataya. Everybody just raise your hands. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, give me today the spirit of supplication, spirit of grace. Baptize me in prayer. Make me become prayer. Give me grace this day and place a hunger in me to begin to pray. I yield to you. I surrender to you. I give myself wholly to you. Place a hunger in me, a supernatural hunger for the presence of God, for the things of God, for the things of the Spirit. I receive everything you have for me. Let me not walk out this place without a hunger, without a thirst. Let me pray the mysteries of the kingdom in Jesus' mighty name.